always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
This is with the point you made earlier, zero point guards to set him up, where he's just doing everything on the fly, guys in his face, still has to create separation. His ability to square up from anywhere on the floor is just elite. The footwork is insane to watch in person. And then he's one of the prettiest jumpers I've seen. Like that, just the, you know, the mechanics seems
so easy. The ball, it just floats off of his hands.
It's textbook to me. Like he just, and he's,
which is honestly, it's crazy that he has that textbook of shot, Raj, given how long his arms are. Like, remember early Ingram, where he would shoot and, you know, his arms would be all over the place. Or like the best example of this guy was the guy who had three names for the Charlotte Bobcats back in the day.
Michael Kidd Gilchrist, are you talking about?
Yes, yeah. Remember Michael Kidd Gilchrist? Yeah. There's a picture of him shooting and his arms are just like,
it's the most craziest form.
It looks like a Picasso painting when he's shooting a basketball. But it's crazy that Carr has that long of arms and they just slot absolutely perfectly. And like you're saying, it's a trebuchet that goes off smoothly and the ball just absolutely floats off of his fingers. It's incredible.
And his ability to get volume shots up to me is impressive, as being the kind of main guy teams are focusing on. He's still getting up 10 plus threes a game. He talked about how he forced a few of them, and I'm sitting there like, please force threes on this team. There's no reason you shouldn't be forcing shots. Like this team is yours. This is your canvas.
We're gonna be in the stands for summer league, and Ross is just gonna be like, shoot it, just shoot it.
Yeah, I was asking about his shooting. He's like, yeah, I forced a few. I'm like, man, not really. Like this is really, you should be forcing them here. But no, and then like mixing within that, he has some ball handling to him, and he had some like the mid-range pull-ups to me, as you know, obviously as Kobe guys, like just watching him pump fake, elevate, like fade away, swish. Those are very NBA shots, right? Like you think of NBA shot diets, like that's an NBA shot, pump fake, use your lane, shoot over guys. He was super impressive the whole summer league. Again, I wish he had a point guard to set him up. Lakers have five shooting guards that play next to him where he's really forced to be the point guard. They even made him the point guard at the end of a lot of these quarters and forced him to kind of be the ball handler. And he had some nice pocket passes and reads off of that. But it's exciting to watch him. And even defensively, I think there's real potential there. He blocked three point attempts, I think, in the tournament. I thought there were some games where he wasn't locked in on that end, but it was an amazing showing. I'm excited to see him in Vegas. I'm hoping they don't shut him down too early. He had a toe injury in the second game where, you know, he was forced to sit out, but I hope he plays. I think that's one of the most fun prospects I think we've had in a long time.
The Adu Thiro experience was an experience, right? Yeah. Like he plays basketball like a puppy, you know, like a really athletic puppy that he is just capable of these things on a basketball court that 99.9999999% of human beings cannot do. And he's just, you know, or a better analogy might even be like, you know, those scenes in like superhero movies when the superhero like realizes they have their abilities, powers. Like Tobey Maguire, like when he like and he's like testing stuff out, and he just looks like a crazy person testing all these things out. Like that's the dude Thiro. He goes out there and he's just like, I mean, I could jump really high. I'm gonna try jumping here, you know. And I tweeted out that like if this dude ever like learns to actually play basketball, he's gonna be really, really good. We'll just see how long that takes.
He like summer league is so unstructured already, right? Yeah. And so you put in a player that clearly has not played much 5-on-5 basketball, that clearly hasn't played much with his teammates and you get a guy who obviously has a lot of burst and energy and pent up basketball aggression, and he's just catching the balls. I gotta drive. I gotta go. Straight line drive right to the rim. And it's every single possession. There is no plan in place. Obviously, there is no finesse, right, to the game. It's just, I'm going to figure it out when I get there. And that's very useful, I think, still, like a player that can get to wherever he wants. Because he got to the rim pretty consistently. He just could not finish. Obviously, didn't have the skill work left. There's a lot of that still to be desired. But that's an athletic freak of nature. And if he can just get everything else right, and I think he's still a year away from that. I'd love him to get a full season in South Bay. I think that would help him in a more organized, structured environment. You know, he had some good games with South Bay last year, and I think he played in the playoffs as well. But yeah, he just needs a lot. He needs more shot creation. And on this team, frankly, he is the shot creation, which, you know, that's not a great place to be for someone who's already not able to create, you know, for himself in a structured environment. You have him being the guy that's also supposed to feed the rest of the team. It's just not a good. But I look, the Cameron Carr Adu Thierro pick and roll, that is fun. That is exciting. There is some, I feel, real meat on that bone to pick at. I enjoyed watching them two kind of run actions together. They seem to have a nice relationship too, which is good. But yeah, I want him to play every game in Vegas to get as many reps as he can. And I'm more excited about his defense, honestly. The offense is whatever. He's refusing to shoot a jump shot right now, which, if you're not a forward center, I just don't know how you play consistently, you know, motions at Jared Vanderbilt. But this guy can defend on the perimeter. He gets after. He had a bunch of steals, you know, on guys in the perimeter. Doesn't know what to do with the basketball when he gets it, but he can he can take the basketball away. And that's, to me, the most exciting part, is throwing him on all these, like, I want to see him. I don't even know if he'd play them, but see him guard like a Darren Pearson or AJ Devanta. Like, seeing him on these other kind of top shelf shot makers, and seeing what he can do defensively, because there's not a lot of perimeter defense other than Chris Mangione either on this Lakers summer league team. But Adu can kind of fit those.
How do you think Dalton's gonna look this year in summer league? Like, what do we stop? He could do the dragon bender. Like, he could just keep on trying.
But by the way, respect to Cam Reddish, who's playing summer league. That is like, that must have taken a lot for him to be like, you know what, this is where I'm at with my career, I'm gonna play summer league. That takes a lot to do that. So, you know, these guys, and look, Dalton should be playing. Like, if politics and all this stuff weren't involved, Dalton should be in summer league. He is not too good to be playing but the Lakers,
I truly don't think the Lakers thought to ask him if he wanted to play summer league. I don't think they thought he was probably in the organization still.
Oh, I see. Like, okay.
Yeah. No, let's talk about Mangione, because he was a guy who last year I didn't think got enough of a shot. Like, he basically never played with the parent team despite being on his two-way. Obviously, like, Cam Carr absolutely jumped off of the screen from an offensive perspective, but Mangione does that defensively. Like, he does, and for a team, Raj, that's going to be absolutely bereft of perimeter defense. Like, I made the point on the show yesterday, I think there's a real case to be made for Mangione to get one of the full-time parent team contracts that the Lakers can still hand out.
He racks up stocks in an insane way. Like, people are looking at his summer league numbers. This is just what he does. Like, this is not just summer league. He did this in South Bay. He was first team all defense in the G League. And people talk about G League competition, but that guy has proven, I think, to be a
defender. But nobody talks about defensive competition.
Right, exactly.
You know, all of the focus, the reason I think it's a worthwhile point to make is because everybody in the G League is focused on getting scoring to the NBA, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Scoring, getting buckets, getting noticed, getting to the NBA. But for Mangione to, like, really focus and get after it night after night after night after night defensively, that translates to the NBA. I wish he played for a different organization, a different front office, because I guarantee, like, the Thunder would have picked this up already if he was in their backyard the way that he's in the Lakers' backyard.
you know how you would always say how like when players get drafted to the Lakers, they bring up, hey, yeah, Kobe was my favorite player, right? It's just, it's kind of this thing. Not that they're purposely doing it. Did you see where he said Rob would bring up Kobe?
On always the... talking about Kobe.
Yeah, he's like, man, it was kind of a lie.
Like, we only had four conversations. Schroeder's gonna make his 15th turn back with the Lakers after that, right? One.
Yeah, but like, you know, you always mention that young draft picks, like they always bring up Kobe, or even new players, new NBA players who come to the Lakers, like, yeah, I always loved Kobe growing up, which, you know, most players did love Kobe. So, yeah. But I feel like now the G League players, you know, that are coming up, they mentioned Caruso as like, you know. You know what I mean? So like, I asked Manuel, like, what players do you emulate your game after? And the first player, obviously, he mentions is Caruso, which is like, Caruso, oh, right.
Tattoo back here, yeah.
Like right to the heart, you know. It's like Caruso, then Jrue Holiday, which is like, yeah, Drew is nice, but Caruso, like, that's the player you mentioned. But he really does fit that. Like I tell people all the time, he's better than Jordan Goodwin was at all that stuff. Goodwin's a better, like, shooter, offensive player, understanding the blender, things like that. But Manion is a legit, like, he will pick you up full court. He is a psycho competitive defensive guy. Even in summer league, I think you can kind of see that kind of come out from him, and has a little bit of ball handling, not much. He's got to be able to hit the three. Didn't shoot it that well in the G League. Has started to, you know, he's trying to open that part of his offensive game up. But I think the Lakers have use for, hey, just go guard, be a nasty defender. We'll take care of the offensive stuff. Like, he has enough offensive kind of utility. I think he'll be playable in lineups where you have, you know, five out with Mamu and you just have him be the guy that locks up. I think there's an NBA skill for him. And to your point, yeah, he should be a guy that's locked into some four-year, you know, $10 million deal or something that OKC gives out to these guys they believe in that far outkick their contracts. I think he can be in that mold.
I also think it's really critical that the Lakers hand out a contract like that when they're gonna, like, they're already gonna be up against the first apron this year, and then they're going to get more expensive as contracts, like, you know, get more expensive over the course of the years that they have them, and like the Lakers are going to be, I think, eventually trying to, I think the first year, like, is evidenced by Mamu's contract, I think they're trying to stay under the first apron to have access to their full mid-level next year. But after that, I think they'll probably start going above the first apron. And when you're an above the first apron team, having a contract like Magnon's could theoretically be here, where it's a four-year deal. And two of those years, as this guy develops into an NBA player, that's super cheap while you're that expensive as a roster. I think it makes a whole bunch of sense. So we'll see how creative Rob gets there. But I think he's going to be an NBA player. Like, I have a soft spot for those, like, 2/3s who really get after it defensively. I there's a tweet, I think it's deleted because I deleted everything before 2016 or something like that.
Okay.
At one point. But when the Lakers drafted Josh Hart and I watched him play in a few games, I was like, that dude's going to win a championship. Whether it's with the Lakers, whether it's whatever, but there's a tweet somewhere out there in the ether where I was like, Josh Hart's going to win a championship. And I just think, like, if Magnon, especially, cause I did like the steps forward that his offense took. So if he continues kind of progressing that way too, like, he's going to be in the NBA for like 8 to 10 years.
Yeah,
I'd rather the Lakers get four of those years cheap.
And he's not just going to keep taking two ways, right? So eventually you're going to have to put him on a roster. Yeah. Some team will come pry him away as well. So, I thought he should have been on the roster last year, honestly. But I think that he should be signed in some capacity, lock him in, and JJ should at least give him a chance to try. I understand the offense is what it is. I don't think it's NBA level offense yet, but can he survive and just be an elite defensive guy? I think you can at least give him that shot next year with, I guess, the openings and rotation minutes.
Yep. All right, let's really quickly go through some of your guys' super comments, starting with the most important sound on the show. All right, the first super that we have here comes from Matthew the Sicilian, who writes, I'll do you one better. Why is Kuminga? I think this is in reference to whether Kuminga is going to happen. He follows that up with, can we do the exact Kuminga deal, but with PJ? They cannot, for one thing, because it's I don't think cap legal. You would have to include another contract beyond Vanderbilt to get to PJ's deal. So you're probably looking at like Vando and Dalton for PJ, which like I wouldn't be torn up about. Somebody asks, I don't know if it was a super comment later, but somebody asked like, would you include Thero in a deal for PJ if they asked for him? Mm. I would. Like, I probably would too. I like PJ or I like Vander. Sorry. I like Thero as a concept, but for the sake of landing you the starter now, it's not even a question to me. How about you?
I feel the same. I like to do a lot. I think there's real potential there, but yeah, if you can get a legit two-way starter that also fills a crucial need. I mean, the Lakers need a starting forward. I think they're going to fit Grimes into there, but they need a starting level wing. And I think we can get him, even if it costs a do, that just makes a lot of sense. I'd be sad to see a do go. You know, I don't think we got the fair share of like just time and minutes and development because of his injuries and medicals that have kind of caused some, you know, missteps in his rookie season. But that makes PJ is just a legit wing, and the Lakers are in win now mode with all the moves they made. And so PJ would kind of fit into that.
Next question that we have here comes from Brandon Omeng, writes, sign Magnon to an AJ Mitchell type contract. We just talked about that. Still need a backed up center, and also need to get Jonathan Kuminga or PJ. Have we checked in on Sadiq Bey? Trade Hardy, DK, and Vando. I would like to see the Lakers open up another couple roster spots for vet men guys. Like, there's some vet men's out there who I find intriguing. As far you said, Musa Diabate is available.
Yeah, he was. I think he was rumored to the Lakers in some report. I don't remember whose report it was. He's on Charlotte, I believe.
There's no way he's available. I thought they extended him.
I don't believe so. I think he was kind of one of the guys that they were looking at.
Let's see. You're right. He's a unrestricted free agent. Yes.
Yeah, he's the guy that you should have done.
Oh my God, yeah. He was the one. Did you see him try to fight? Was it all of the Detroit Pistons?
Was that him? Okay, I don't remember, but
it was. I want a fighter on this team. Like, I've decided that's part of the reason I was in on Isaiah Stewart before. Musa Diabate lost his absolute mind.
Okay.
When, oh my goodness, that'd be perfect. That would be, but yeah, Musa Diabate. No, wait. No,
he's unrestricted free.
He's under contract this year.
Next season.
Next summer. So I would trade for him though.
Yeah, that's
I bet I bet they wind up extending him though, because I think they like him a lot.
Yeah, maybe. They also have a weird team. They just traded LaMelo, so they're going full in on their, you know, on their youth and their guy. So maybe they don't want to lock themselves into a deal with him or something. I'm not sure. But that's a guy that I would go after for sure. They just picked up 3 seconds for collecting Dorian Finney-Smith, and I think they're going to cut him or buy him out, if I have that right. But
yeah,
that's a guy. That's one of the guys I'd look at. He just fits the center mold that I'm looking for. Athletic center, lob threat, hopefully turn into a defensive type guy. Only 25 years old, fits the mold, the age group of the team. So that's the guy I'd go after.
If he was an unrestricted free agent, I'd swear he would make $13 to $15 million a year. I think he would get like a Stewart type deal. I think he's really good. Mm. Diabate.
Okay. The way, same agent as Jonathan Kuminga. That could work in the favor or not. I'm just putting out the information out there.
Could help. Yeah.
Same lines of communication.
I just saw Aaron like doing like actual radio hits and stuff like that. And
last year, I think he's
crazy.
He stopped that. Yeah.
That was wild.
I mean, it wasn't just a radio hit. Like, radio hit is like when we go on and do 15 minutes. 15, 20 minutes. It was like an hour on the Hoop Collective of just like The Kings are interested. The Suns are interested. Here's the contracts they've given us. Here's what the Warriors won't give. Here's why Steve Kerr is wrong. Here's what Kuminga actually did in the play. I was like, wow, this is, I mean, for us, it's great. Transparency, you know, that's the information we want. But yeah, for Kuminga, I mean, like, wow, that's a lot of information. I'm sure that Warriors were kind of over that situation too. But yeah, same agent. So same lines of communication. If the lines are open, they're open.
Sound Automotive Group writes, should tell Atlanta to keep Ayton 2.0 and send them a swap to take Vando alone. So basically he's calling Jonathan Kuminga DeAndre Ayton 2.0, but here's a swap just to take Vando.
No, you can't do that. You can't do that. No, that'd be pretty bad. Yeah. A swap to trade Vando would be terrible asset management. Sorry.
I would do that to get off of Hardy. Let's see. Oh, man. All right, here we go. Last one. Karl Marx LA writes, Vando plus pick swap for Jonathan Kuminga, Hardy. And, well, they can't aggregate Hardy's salary right now. But eventually, maybe. Hardy and DK plus 3 seconds for Derek Jones Jr., then you have WK, Walker Kessler. See, all right, just a quick request to everybody when you guys bring in these comments, please go in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 order, right? So, like, here you have Walker Kessler listed as a 1, and my basketball brain doesn't compute this, right? So, like, if you're going to list their rotation out, right, so you would have AR, Luka, Kuminga, Derek Jones Jr., and Walker Kessler, or Kuminga and Derek Jones Jr. and Walker Kessler, and then the bench from there. But yeah, does that mess with your brain? Because like I was like, WK is a point guard. That
not as much. I have been starting to like reread the Harry Potter book, so JK, I read as JK Rowling a little bit, but the other stuff I got, but yeah, no, I get what you're saying though. It's a little bit easier when it's in a basketball order.
I just always think of, like, anytime I see a listing of players on the same team, I think of it as your depth chart, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, bench falls in behind there. That's kind of how I think of everything. But Harry Potter, that's a surprising thing to find out.
Yeah, I've always been kind of interested in it, and I think I read some of the books as a kid, but I just don't remember much of it. But yeah, I'm reading The Deathly Hallows. Nice book. It's
pretty. You started on The Deathly Hallows?
Well, I've like seen the movies and things like that, so I kind of know the story. But yeah, I just wanted to start there.
Anytime I've reread them, I start in order.
Oh, you start right back in the first one? Okay.
Well, because they just released all like the fully casted audiobooks on Audible, and it's like the cast of actors and actresses that do this. It's crazy, and they did like sound effects and all these things. It's
pretty good. I can't listen to books. I've tried. I don't know. It's not comfortable. I'd rather read it. Derek Jones Jr. is interesting. I don't see the Clippers. He's on the Clippers, right? I don't see the Clippers giving him up for a second, especially to the Lakers. I think they would have to really win whatever trade we do with them. I put them in that same tier. I just don't see them giving us Derek Jones Jr., but would like him, would fit. Another Luka teammate that went to the finals, but I just don't see us getting him.
Yeah. All right. That'll do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge Podcast. We have tomorrow's show, and then Friday is a travel day for me, so that might be somewhat difficult for me to record a podcast as I head out to Summer League. Maybe I'll hop on here and record a quick little Q&A with you guys before I, you know, hop in my Uber and head down to the airport. But Raj, anything to plug before we get you out of here?
Should have something up soon on Walker Kessler, breaking him down, and then yeah, I'll be at Summer League as well. Excited to watch, you know, Cameron Carr and all the young guys. I will say it was cool watching them in the Classic. I didn't know that, you know, that many people come out to San Francisco and watch summer league out there. But it's a tradition for the Lakers to get destroyed in the first game, as they always do. But I think this is a fun summer league team. And even if not, you can watch by covering the scoreboard, because I think Cameron Carr will just be just a legit fun guy and super, like, I don't know if you've been able to listen to his interviews, but he's like just a really, seems like really grounded and understands the situation he's in. So yeah, but it should be fun. We'll see y'all, see you as well in Vegas in a few days.
I will be there. All right. That'll do it. Please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Turn on notifications for the show. Turn on notifications for YouTube so you get the notifications to the show. Please subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcast. Use that promo code HMA on Prize Picks. And until the next time you guys hear from us, I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Rasha Palu. Have a great rest of your night. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Bye, everyone.